This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? Well, Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs, and how travel advisors can snag secret perks you didn't even know to ask for, or how to get real value from points, not just a tiny reward at checkout. Travel smarter and spend less with help from Nerd Wallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show, and at Fromers, we pride ourselves in helping you not overpay for travel. That's a real problem in the travel industry, especially right now, as travel providers get cleverer and cleverer in terms of how they present prices. This is especially true for airfare and hotels. If you've been searching, you know there isn't actually any one airfare for a journey or any one hotel rate. It all depends on where you look, when you look, and how you look. So to help us figure this out, both on this podcast and on Fromers.com, we have Reed Bramlett, who is a travel writer par extraordinaire, been in the business forever, knows every trick in the book, and every other year or so, he does a study for us looking at the top booking engines for both airfares and hotels. We're going to unpack that study. Hey, Reed, welcome back to the Fromer Travel Show.
Hi, Pauline. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's probably a bigger pleasure than doing the massive study you did, which I know is a huge amount of work. Tell us what went into figuring out which are the best booking engines. How did you weight the results?
Well, there was a lot of spreadsheet fun involved with this. I went through and I tried to throw as many scenarios as I could think of at as many websites as I could think of. So between 14 and 16 top websites out there, and I would ask it for multiple, say, airfares, domestic, international, and some airfares that don't even involve the United States, like going from London to Barcelona, to figure out, you know, can they find the lowest price on the low-cost carriers in Europe? And I just looked at all the results. I looked at who could find the cheapest price on the airfare, like including plane changes, and who could find the cheapest direct price. And as you said earlier, it's amazing that it's not always the same answer from every website out there. So it really does pay to look at more than one.
Yeah. And this year there was another wrinkle because a lot of folks are looking at chatbots, at AI, to try and figure out their travel plans. And so not only did you look at Expedia, Momondo, Booking.com, all of the major sites we know, you also looked at ChatGPT and its cohort. So let's get AI out of the way first. You tested AI as well as these websites. How did it do?
I did. I was a little nervous, you know, figuring, is this in the end of doing these kind of surveys? Can they do a better job than, you know, my human fingers and human brain? And the good news is, at least for now, at least for us, they were terrible at it. I tried six major chatbots, Claude and Grok. Both found the right airfare, right airline, but radically different airfares. Huh. Perplexity and DeepSync both liked Spirit on this particular airfare from New York to LA, but they disagreed on the price. And one was twice as high as the other. And neither one was the actual correct price.
Wow. And often what you found with AI in terms of airfares was they would find higher airfares than the regular booking engines that we all know about, right?
Right.
And the interesting thing was,
no, it never went on price. Well, sometimes it would say a ridiculously low price that wasn't even available. So it wasn't even getting the correct answer. Gemini got the correct answer once, But Gemini is Google's AI engine. Huh. And so it just got the answer from the Google search, which was pretty effective. But then that was on one airfare, and Google was not always the number one website when it came to finding all the airfares.
Right.
So they didn't get it right. They often overpromised or they undersold, and they were really difficult to pin down on details. If you wanted to go into any more depth, they just gave up. They'd throw up their virtual hands and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Right. I remember you tried to get AI to find you a hotel on the strip of Las Vegas, which didn't include a casino. And that's something that this travel writer knows offhand, which hotels they are. What happened when you asked ChatGPT to solve that riddle for you?
Well, what I did is, in those cases, I didn't actually go to the independent AIs. I used most of the websites out there now have their own built-in AI filter. Huh. Like, they have the usual filters for prices and airlines and destinations and things like that. And a lot of them now have a smart filter, which is grossly unnamed because it was not clever in the slightest. It worked once or twice, but then I'd try something else on it and it would get it completely wrong. Huh. They would say things like, oh, sure, I can find you hotels off the strip. And it would give me four hotels in Henderson, Nevada, which technically is off the strip. It's also in a different city. And it would find me hotels without a casino, and it would find me some hotels without casinos, but then a bunch that actually had the word casino in their name. Uh-huh. So it was pretty much not there yet. I'm sure it'll get better, but for the moment, it was sort of a useless, almost comically so, feature.
Okay, so we now know AI, at least for now, is not winning. Anyway, so let's do airfares first.
Okay.
If you want to find the lowest airfare, and you, let me also say that you talked about airfares in your article in a smart way. You did not include the airfares that take you 8 hours out of your way to save $50. Tell us about the weighting you did for that, and spelled W-E-I-G-H-T, not waiting.
Oh, there was a lot of waiting on some of these websites. They are slower than you'd expect. And I do mention that in the article, which ones sort of sit you with that spinning wheel for 5 minutes and you have to restart it.
Oh.
But I weighted them in terms of finding out what kind of airfare. It is a science. I took a lot of data, but there's a bit of art to it. And for any itinerary that spent at least 50% of its time sitting in O'Hare Airport, I said, no, we're not going to do that. Or right. If it wanted you to fly from Philadelphia to Tampa via Cleveland, that made no sense. You know, right. So anything that significantly extended the amount of time you traveled for a modicum of savings was just not on.
Okay. So that wasn't included.
I also avoided, there's a site called SkipLagged, which is named after the technique for which it became famous, which is the hidden city fares, which is basically you take a flight from where you are to where you're going that continues on to a third destination. And for various complicated reasons, the way airlines do their pricing, sometimes the flight from here to LA is more expensive than the flight. I mean, it's cheaper than the flight from here to Denver, even though it's shorter. But the plane stops in Denver. So if you get that LA flight, which is cheaper, and you get off the plane in Denver, hey, you've saved money. The problem is, obviously, you can't check any luggage because your luggage is going to keep going.
Sure.
And if the airline finds out you've done it, they will cancel your return ticket. Sometimes they'll even try to sue you. It goes against their terms and practices. So it is technically a technique you can use, but I don't think we consider it really a viable one because of all it's very fraught. So we left fares like that on the side. We just looked at what is the actual airfare a real human flying a real itinerary is going to find.
Right. Okay. So with that all in mind, here's a drum roll. Which is the best airfare search engine?
Well, the best airfare search engine, if you just look at price alone, believe it or not, is Momondo. It's not an unusual name to our listeners and our readers at Fromers.com. Momondo.com continues to just dominate the airfare.
But it didn't win the last time, I thought. Wasn't it?
No, it didn't. Because I have this all written down on my spreadsheets to figure out how well they've done.
Last time, was it Kayak that won?
Well, Kayak and Momondo are now the same thing.
Right.
And that is one of the big stories out of this, is that the corporate consolidation is sort of eating away at this point at the illusion of choice. I mean, we've known for a long time there's been this consolidation. Expedia Group owns CarRentals.com, Cheap Tickets, eBookers, Expedia itself, Hotels.com, Hotwire, Orbitz, Travelocity, Trivago, Vrbo, and that's just one of them. There are several other conglomerates out there. And for a long time, they sort of let their individual websites kind of run on their own with their own databases and their own interfaces and algorithms. I mean, Orbitz and Travelocity very quickly became the same as Expedia. But recently, more and more of them have started to sort of merge their results. So in hotels, for example, Momondo used to have its own results, but now it's really just a front for the hotelscombined.com data, which is an aggregator. And so is Kayak. So Momondo has better filters than Kayak, and it's designed a little easier on the eyes. So we say Momondo won, but if you go to Kayak, you get the exact same results. Okay. And so it was the same last year, but prior to that, it ranked number 6. So it's really come up in the world.
Okay, so it's Momondo / Kayak that found the lowest prices most consistently, correct?
That would be the best way to put it, yes.
Okay, and what else did they do right, do you think?
Well, in addition to finding the best prices the most number of times, Momondo has the best filters in the business. Now, the filters are the things that allow you to say, I only want to leave from these airports in a particular destination, or I want to sort it by price or by fastest or whatever. And Momondo not only has all of those, it has things like booking sites. So you can say, I don't want to book on these places I've never heard of, these third-party websites that might be a little fly-by-night, pardon the pun, or the kind of aircraft, the flight quality. And the number one thing that Momondo offers that nobody else in the industry does, it allows you to tick off a checkbox for how many carry-ons you have and how many checked bags you want to take. And it will recalculate all of the prices for each airline with the baggage fees included. Wow. Nobody else does that.
That's great. That's really helpful, actually. Yeah.
It's incredibly helpful because, sure, it's like $30 or $40. You figure that's part of flying. But there are some airlines where the difference can be $10 on one airline and $90 on another. So wow. It really pays to know what the baggage fees are going to be.
Interesting. And that, well, we'll come back to that opaqueness when we talk about hotels. So Momondo was number one. What was number two?
Number two this time around was Skyscanner.
Huh.
It's been number two for a while. Number one is swaps out, but number two, and the Skyscanner just holds on to that number two spot. It was really good at finding advanced purchase fares.
Huh.
So in other words, airfares leaving 6 weeks out or longer. Last minute fares, not quite as good as some of the others, but it was pretty much almost as good as Momondo on the what we call apex fares in the industry. It found more than 3/4 of the time it found a fare that was better than the average or sometimes the best.
I remember in past years, there was one website that was better on like airfares to Asia or last minute fares. Did you find niches like that in the list?
I did. And like I said, they do vary on who has the best on last minute and who has the best on airfares at certain destinations. The destinations one seems to have fallen a little bit by the wayside. Huh. And hotels as well. There used to be that there was a website that was really good at Asian hotels.
Called Agoda, right?
Yes, Agoda, that started as a website for booking hotels in Asia. But it seems to have lost that edge, again, as it's become, its results have gotten consolidated with those of its corporate cousins.
Huh, interesting. Okay. And one of the big news items from this article was that all of the websites now cover Southwest. It's no longer hiding behind the veil, right?
Yes, that is one of the two big news items to come out that covers everything in the airfare industry, is that Southwest, which you used to have to look up on your own, is now canvassed by nearly all of the aggregators and the online travel agencies, the places we actually book it. There are two that made our top 10 that do not, as of this date, include Southwest yet, and that is Skiplagged and Flight Network.
Huh, interesting.
So
okay.
It's almost all the way there. The other big news is that TripAdvisor, which was usually in the top 5 in our last several times doing this, will no longer be booking airfares or hotels. It's getting rid of its booking services, and it's going back to just crowdsourced travel information.
Interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now on hotels. Google actually found the best prices most consistently. Google, is it called Google Hotels or what's the name there?
Well, if you go to Google and you search on hotels, it'll start giving you the results that you're looking for. But if you want an interface that kind of looks like a hotel booking one with lots of options, you go to google.com/travel, and there you can pick flights, hotels, vacation packages, and that will give you a more usable interface. So it's google.com/travel/hotels, right, if you want to get technical.
And it found the lowest prices most consistently? How much lower?
Well, it's really a matter of how many times does it find the absolute cheapest price versus, right, an average price or one that's not as good. And when we ranked these websites, that's the ranking that we used. If it found the absolute best price, it got points. If it found a good price, it got points, but fewer. And it got negative points for finding a bad price or the absolute worst price, or in some cases, not even managing to find that hotel in that city at all, which some of them suffered from.
Well, for those of us who try to avoid Google because they're taking over the world, what was number two?
And number two?
Yeah.
And number two was a big surprise to me.
Okay.
Because it has not been number two or even number one. It has usually been down at number eight and number seven in the last six times we've done this. And that is Trivago.
Huh.
Yep. Trivago. I think maybe they stopped spending so much money on those incessant ad campaigns with that silver fox in a white void telling you about Trivago. And now they've actually invested it in their algorithms. I don't know if that's the truth, but it does definitely seem to be the case, because it really rocked. It did a great job of finding inexpensive hotels and finding a large number of inexpensive hotels in every city we threw at it. Buenos Aires, Hong Kong, Rome, Philadelphia. It rocked. It was amazing. Not quite as good as Google, but for a traditional aggregator, it really kind of blew the pants off everybody, including one website that used to rank really high and now is languishing back in Trivago's old area at number eight, booking.com.
Huh?
So, again, my theory is that the booking.yeah commercials are eating up their ability to actually focus on giving you good results.
Interesting. And does Trivago do rentals as well as hotels?
It does. That is one thing that a lot of them are including more and more, is including not just hotels, but also vacation homes, which means an apartment, an Airbnb-type property, often they're through something like Vrbo. And you can search on that. You can say, I want just hotels, or I want hotels and apartments, or I also want budget stays, which would be like B&Bs and hostels, guest houses, that kind of thing.
Hmm. Okay. Now, what about all the fees, the extra fees that come with hotels? Is it easy to see those now on these booking engines?
That is another big change in the last 2 years. It used to be that it was almost impossible to find out all of the taxes and fees you were going to pay. They would have the generic tax, which in most countries is the VAT tax, and it's federal, but it often would not include city taxes, which could be 15%, or even worse, cleaning fees on rental properties or resort fees at hotels. And that could tack on $30, $40, $60, $150. I've seen ones where the base rate was $79, but once you added taxes and fees, it was $280, which was ridiculous. It used to be the only way you could get around that was to pretend you were Irish, by which I mean use a VPN, a virtual private network,
sure,
to spoof the computer into thinking you're coming from another country, in this case, Ireland, because you needed to be from the European Union, the EU, because they have regulations requiring the fees to be divulged up front.
Ah.
And Ireland has the benefit of the results also coming in English. Now, that is still the case for about half the sites out there, including Trivago that we talked about. But interestingly, there are some websites that now include taxes and fees in the first results they show you.
Huh.
It often is in fine print, a little bit smaller than the big lead price that they show in bold, because they want you to notice the cheapest price. And when you do sort by price and things like that, it will still sort by that base price and not the total price. But at least they show it to you before you click through eight different screens to get to the page where you put in your credit card information and discover the hotel is three times as much as you thought it was.
Right. Does Google and Trivago, do they show you the final price in smaller type or no?
Google is the only one of the top four sites that shows you the final fee, including taxes and fees, although it's when you go to the individual results of each hotel.
Okay.
The next three do not. It's actually more at the bottom of the list in terms of finding the best price that, ironically enough, include all the fees as well.
Okay. Apologies for my dog. He hates fees, hence all the barking. So back to fees. You talked about how Momondo allows you to check and kind of change the search by luggage fees. To my mind, one of the ugliest fees out there is parking fees. Do any of these hotel websites let you shift the site by adding that into the search, or no?
No. Most of them will have tick marks for amenities, and one of those will be parking if it's available, including, I noticed recently, EV charging stations. But they do not, unfortunately, have the actual price. I think because it's not divulged necessarily in the database of information they get from each one, whereas baggage fees for airlines are in there. It's just many websites choose not to show them.
Okay. And just to clarify a point you made earlier about virtual private networks, VPNs, if you search from Ireland, which I love that idea, will you more likely see the total price in the first results page or no?
Absolutely. You have to. By law, EU regulations require it to show you the actual total price.
Wow.
The very first time they show you the results. It might be in euros because you've changed to Ireland, but you can usually on every site, except for google.com, you can tick a little box to change that to dollars if it helps you not do the conversions in your head.
Well, that's really useful to know. I'm trying to think of another, well, it has to be an EU site. Yeah, very, very interesting. And we don't know. You didn't check to see whether the price was different using a VPN, because we know that a lot of companies are profiling people by the area they live in and surfacing different prices.
It's not just the area you live in. It's the cookies they put on. It's all your personal data. There was an article about it in the Times today.
Day
we're recording this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That they are really creating personal files on every single person. As they say, you know, if something is given to you for free, you are the product. They are collecting data on you and selling it bundled to other parties, usually not for nefarious purposes, but you could consider someone upping the price because they think you have more disposable income. Kind of nefarious.
I consider that definitely nefarious. Well, it's another reason to use a VPN when you do these searches as well.
And also clean out all your cookies from your browser cache. It means you won't be able to automatically log into sites, but it will keep a site from pulling that scam where they, not a scam, but from pulling that move where they show you a price, and then when you go back to it, it shows you a price slightly higher, and it creates that false sense of urgency, so you'll book it right now. And a lot of them, unfortunately, do that. So if you use a virtual network and you make sure you clear your cache and your cookies and use a browser that's really good at doing that, then you usually can get much more consistent results.
Okay. Well, that's important. Is there anything we haven't covered that you thought we should have coming into this article, coming into this conversation?
Well, I think it's interesting that there are some deals on the hotel side that you can only get if you go directly to the online travel agency that is selling it. Because the aggregators will canvass all of the online travel agencies, all the ones that actually sell you the information.
Right.
Sell you the tickets, as well as the best ones will also look at the hotel's own website, because that'll often beat one of these online travel agencies. But some of the online travel agencies have deals that you can only get by going directly to them. Sometimes right on the surface, if you just go to the site, sometimes you have to log in for their Genius rate or their member only discounts, which is usually worth doing. We did not for this particular article do that because we wanted to get the plain vanilla rates that everyone can find.
Right.
However, conversely, there are some rates that the large aggregators have locked in at the online travel agencies that you won't get unless you go through the aggregator like Trivago.
Huh.
Or Skyscanner. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. Sometimes it was lower going direct. Sometimes it was lower going through an aggregator, which just means you kind of got to look at both.
Oh, I hate that. So
it's very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. So that's a lot of work. So you need to sign in, look at it that way, but then you can't use a VPN if you're signing in to get the secret rate.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to look at the... So that's, you have to do that with the OTAs, the online travel agency. You have to do that with the aggregators, and maybe you have to do it with the hotels, or will you consistently find the hotel direct places on the sites that aggregate different prices?
Most of the best aggregators and the ones that we recommend at the top of the list will canvass the individual sites of the hotels themselves. And if you go to a hotel site, it will tell you what the rate is and what their member rate is to join their, you know, membership club and what the AAA rate is, things like that.
Yeah. What percentage of the time is the hotel rate lowest? I would think it's a lot, right? Or no?
The hotel rate is, I didn't actually calculate percentages, but just if I had to rough it out from all the results that I've seen, and I looked at about 800 results for hotels for this article.
Wow.
It was probably about 75-80% of the time. But sometimes, you know, a hotel, in order to move rooms, will offer a discount to a third party to sell those rooms because they know that more people know the names of Trivago or Booking.com or Priceline or something like that.
Right.
And so they figure, well, if we have to eat a little bit of profit to get way more bookings, then we'll offer a discount to the people coming through those venues. So again, you kind of have to look at all of the options, which is why we have a top 10 list. So that you'll know which are the best ones to go to first.
Well, and on that happy note, I will say thank you so, so much, Reed. I learned a lot.
No trouble, Pauline. I appreciate it. And I appreciate doing this article every 2 years, even if it involves a whole lot of spreadsheets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are the spreadsheet king. Thanks again. And that is it for this week's show. I thank you so, so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, may I wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
If you want to travel more, ideally in luxury, but without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. I'm DeAndre Koch, and on Revolutionizing Your Journey, I use my unique vantage point as a financial advisor to break down exactly how my wife and I leverage credit card points and miles to fly business class, stay at five-star resorts, and take bucket list trips for a fraction of the cost. Each week, I share real strategies packed with actionable tips and interview some of the smartest travelers in the game to help you revolutionize the way you travel. Travel well, live boldly, and find Revolutionizing Your Journey wherever you get your podcasts.